In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. When we deal with the person of Cornelius and his household, we are dealing with something brand new. The apostles thought that salvation was only for the Jews, and the rest of the people were called dogs. But we see in the experience of Cornelius and Peter that salvation is to the Jew as well as to the Gentile. God is too good to just be wrapped up with one group of people. He is for you and he is for me. He is for us. Chapter 10 of the Acts, in Caesarea, that's by the Mediterranean Sea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. He was a pagan, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw clearly an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror. "Oh, did you see an angel? You're going to be afraid." And said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Your prayer and your gifts that you've given the Lord, the money. You see, money is worth something in the kingdom. Our prayers and our alms have reached heaven. Let's continue. "Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter." He is the leader of the apostles. "He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." Again, this is interesting because tanning would be unkosher. "When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa." He sent them to Joppa. For what? To talk to Peter. "About noon the next day, lunchtime, as they were on their journey and approached the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray." It's a beautiful place to pray, up on the roof. "He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures." They were unkosher animals, "reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.'" And Peter is going to say, "I don't eat things like that." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This is about Cornelius' friends. In other words, they would be considered profane. But their prayers and their alms reached God. This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing at the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision has to do with the unkosher men that are outside, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up and go down and go with them without hesitation. For I have sent them. Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. Peter interpreted the vision as Cornelius coming with his friends. This is interesting because before this time, only Jews received the Holy Spirit. Only Jews who accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Peter said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they answered, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you had to say. What do you think Peter's going to do? He's going to preach the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for their sins, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Oh yes, that's what Peter's going to do. So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. Now this is something extraordinary because you do not live in a house with unclean people that are not Jewish. So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them. And some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and his friends, close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, worshiping him. Now Peter's going to say, you don't worship me. I'm only a man made out of dust. You worship God. But Cornelius doesn't know that yet. But Peter made him get up, saying, stand up, I am only a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. How did he show him that? With the vision that came three times from heaven. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Here it comes. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, at this very hour, 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God, prayer as well as money. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon a tanner by the sea. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. In other words, this is a congregation. This is a hungry congregation. I'm going to tell you, when you get hungry, God does things in your life. A hungry congregation. People that want to hear what God wants for them. Do you know what God wants for you? It is that you become a great person in the sight of the world by the power of the cross, by the power of the blood, yes. That you become a prayer warrior in the world by the power of the cross, by the power of the blood. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. That's again the vision he had. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That message spread throughout all of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing miracles, healing the sick, delivering people from demons. How he went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, here comes the gospel, by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and we ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He accompanied us and commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. Jesus, ordained by God, judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify to him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins through his name, through the name of Jesus. There's only forgiveness in the name of Jesus. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon the hearers of the word. How do they know? Because they start speaking in tongues and start prophesying. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, even. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This experience of Cornelius is the opening of the gospel to both Gentile as well as Jew. That Jesus is for Gentiles as well as Jew. The gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greeks or the Gentiles. But you see, this is something that they had to get over with, because many people thought that the only way to become belonging to the way, belonging to Jesus, was to be Jewish. And in Galatia, they said, you've got to be circumcised if you want to be a real Christian. No, no, no. It is the grace of God that come upon us that makes us Christians. Let's continue. Chapter 11. The Word of God says, "Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the Word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him." Yeah, they're no good Gentiles. They're pigs. They're dogs. "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. I saw a vision," tells about the vision, "and there was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by four corners, and it became close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.'" That's Cornelius and his household. "This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where they were, and the Spirit bade me go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us." See, the gift of God is to the Jew first and now to the Gentiles. This is what God wants. One strong man, Jew and Gentile, that believe in Jesus, that have given their life to Jesus, and that he is the head and we are the members. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house and told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." So Cornelius, being a righteous man in the sight of God, received a vision and says, "This guy's going to teach you the word of God and what you need to do to be saved." As I began to speak what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he had done to us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I would hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. In other words, they saw the power of God come on these Gentiles, and they couldn't say another word. And as they praised God, saying, "Then God has even given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Even, you know, even, still can see, what's the word, their almost unbelief. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. As they spoke the word, to no one except to Jews. But among them there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks, also proclaiming the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. I'm sure they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and exhorted them all to become faithful to the Lord and steadfast devotion, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for the entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was at Antioch that disciples were first called Christians. I made an Antioch retreat, and that's where I got the baptism of the Spirit. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine over all the world, and it took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and by Saul. And so we see God's plan is for the world. I say the United States is mission territory. Let me tell you that. People are far from God. I even wonder at Pentecostal churches if they allow speaking in tongues and prophesying. I even wonder if they give the people the prayer of the baptism of the Spirit. I know in the Catholic Church, we are in need of the power of God. We are in need of the presence of God. We are in need of God himself. Oh yes, he's here. But we need to respond to his presence by giving him our lives. Oh yes, to be a Christian means to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be give your life in surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these words of surrender are not words that people like to hear. They say, "What do I do by surrendering?" Yes, surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would lead your life and show you what you needed to do. Chapter 12. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. So here we have persecution. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. This was during the festival of unleavened bread near the Passover. When he seized Peter, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard Peter, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. Your prayers are answered, the Lord says. When you pray fervently and you pray with faith, your prayers are answered. You might say, I don't see it yet. Well, you're going to see it. You've been praying for your children, and your prayers are answered. Keep on praying, because your prayers are before the throne of God. But not only your prayers, but your arms are before the throne of God. That very night, before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone on the cell. He tapped Peter on one side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to Peter, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Being instructed by an angel, Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought it was a vision. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them on its own accord, and they went outside and walked along the lane. Then suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all the Jewish people. So soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name is Mark, and they were gathered there praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid called Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. Now, what are these people doing? They're praying for the release of Peter. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." Imagine, they're praying for his release. She said he's released, and she is called crazy. But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." They don't believe that their prayers are being answered, just like so many people. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand that they be silent, and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to all the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had happened to Peter. When Herod had searched for him and could not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them to be put to death. Then Peter went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. This is amazing. Early church, just like us, they don't believe that their prayers were being answered. They thought Rhoda was out of her mind. Let me tell you this. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let me tell you this. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. www.inseason.net, go to PayPal. www.inseason.net, go to PayPal. Or write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.